Hello, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on another adventure together, an adventure that I like to call Dave Wilson's part of Radio Liberty. Every now and again, you know, Dr. Stan goes away from this microphone and for some reason asks me to come in here and sit down, which I'm awfully glad to do because I love talking to you. I love talking to the people that we get to visit with us on the telephone. And all the stuff that goes on here at Radio Liberty is really near and dear to my heart. I hope you enjoy it as well. We're going to be talking this afternoon with Debbie O'Hara. She is a homeschooler, a mom, a former person who was certainly involved in the business world but decided to give her life to her kids. And we're going to be talking about all kinds of different things, about the church, about what's going on in Christianity today. So be sure, if you had even thought of moving away from this radio program this afternoon, that you don't do that. You stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about things that are important to you if you're a churchgoer, things that are important to you if you are a Christian person, stuff you need to know about. You may even want to take time during one of the breaks to call your elders, call your pastors, and say, hey, listen into this stuff that's on Radio Liberty this afternoon. It would be a favor to them, I think, if you would. And I have to remind you, of course, that the views expressed on this live radio program don't necessarily reflect the views of the station that you're listening to or the internet provider, yada, 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 you know all that. And I'd like to introduce to you now Debbie O'Hara. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Dave.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine.
We're experiencing a little bit of cold, rainy weather here, and I think you might be getting some of the same.
Well, it's a little bit chilly here for Southern California, but no rain right now.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. You know, I was excited when I read some of the pieces that you have been putting on an internet site called News with Views, because a lot of the things that you wrote, say beginning in July or August of this past year, has been devoted to what I consider to be your passion for exposing what's going on in modern-day Christianity today. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Well, yes, that certainly is a fair statement. I don't think it's any surprise to your audience out there that, you know, we're certainly in a culture war, and Christ Church is not involved in it. And, you know, the liberals are well organized, but Christians are scattered, mm-hmm. and Christians are not equipped to be in this battle.
That's a strange thing when you use those words, that Christians are not equipped. Now, we know that the Bible says in Ephesians that we're to be aware of the fact that we're in a spiritual battle here. And that is one where we're told to put on the full armor of God, and Paul goes on through different things explaining to us what that is. But is it your impression then that perhaps we haven't been arming our parishioners as pastors and leaders?
No, we certainly haven't been, because the full armor of God, you know, comes through the gospel. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the gospel's been greatly watered down today. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that it is the church that's supposed to be equipping the saints. And, you know, the early church gave us a good example of how to do that. You know, we're to pray together and break bread together and study God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the original meaning of the word church meant called out ones. You know, and that means we're to be radically different, you know, the way we live our lives from the rest of the world.
A lot of people would say that to be radically different just doesn't fit in when you're supposed to be culturally sensitive to people, and all paths lead to God and so forth and so on. And if you don't believe that, you're sort of full of hate.
Yes, I know, and, you know, it is unfortunate here with the rise of the apostate church. I mean, that the word church has taken on a whole new meaning,
mm-hmm.
because it's geared toward the unbelievers, those that are in the church growth movement now. They're actually out surveying communities saying, what is it going to take to get the non-Christians here into the church? And the non-Christians are saying, well, you know, I work hard all week. I don't want to hear about sin on Sunday. You know, we want a rock band. And, you know, long sermons are boring, and, you know, long prayers make me uncomfortable. So, you know, what they're doing is watering down the messages, you know, to gear them toward the unchurched. And what's happening now is we're finding there's no difference between the church, you know, the regular believers and the unchurched now,
mm-hmm.
because of the watered down messages. You know, surveys are being done that shows abortion, divorce, you know, you name it, it's the same in the church as out of the church.
Exactly, and you've pretty much laid down a beautiful outline for this afternoon's program and our discussion. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to join us, if you have some comment, if you think we're way off the wall or right on, we invite you to give us a call. And the number is 464-8295 here in the local Central California coast area, Monterey Bay, Santa Cruz, and anywhere in the country, I guess, all around, wherever you can dial an 800 number. Why don't you try 888-245-4237. That's 888-24-LIBERTY, and we'll drop the 75 cents to a dollar or whatever it costs nowadays for you to join this program. Go ahead. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear your comment as we talk with Debbie O'Hara. Now, Debbie, you've chosen to be a homeschooler, and one of the things that you quoted in an essay that you wrote for News with Views was something that Martin Luther wrote, and I'd like to read it right now. He said, "I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt." And we've seen that, haven't we, here in these United States in the last 50 years?
Well, we certainly have, and, you know, I know our founding fathers certainly agreed with Martin Luther, and there was a time that certainly the Scriptures were in our schools. In fact, in some schools here in the U.S., up until the early 1950s, you know, the Scripture was still read at school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though we had religious freedom here and we believed in, you know, I mean, we don't believe in forcing people, you know, and Jesus didn't either. I mean, he wants willing believers. But they did encourage the Christian religion, even though they allowed freedom to, you know, believe in whatever you wanted.
I could recall a teacher that I had in the sixth grade in San Mateo, over on the San Francisco Bay Area from here in Santa Cruz, and she used to quote the Bible all the time, mostly things from the Proverbs, you know, where there was right thinking and how to do things and stuff like that. But nevertheless, it always impressed me that, you know, well, gee, that's a succinct little way of putting that. Even as a 12-year-old, I thought some of those things. And now that I look back on it, of course, that sort of stuff has been completely outlawed, but it's been replaced with an earth-worshipping, humanistic religion, and no one seems to be crying out.
Well, and especially the church, and I think that's what's, you know, so hard for us to understand, you know, through all these years. You know, these things happen incrementally. You know, where was the church mm-hmm. back when Bible reading was taken out and prayer was taken out and, you know, abortion was legalized, you know, even sodomy now. And how many churches are really speaking out? You know, they say, well, that's politics. You know, we don't get involved in those kind of things. But,
and yet,
you know, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. And yet God has said that he's calling us out. Your words and an exact translation of what the word church means, a called ecclesia, a person who is called out of the world to be a mirror of the Christian way, if you will, or at least God's thought, and trying to show people that God really does love them and really does have a plan for their life, but there is a price to be paid, and this price is loving him and accepting the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then determining in your heart to be empowered by God's Spirit to do right according to what it says in the Bible. And we've moved far, far away from that. You wrote in your essay that you said that as evil is allowed, and I believe it began in the 60s here in this country particularly, as we abrogated our responsibility to our children, we can see the natural progression of evil when it is not stopped early on. You started to talk about how, first of all, abortion and then euthanasia, and tell us a little bit about how you see that progression right there.
Well, when we first of all didn't defend the unborn, I think there's just a logical progression, you know, that it's the elderly and then the handicapped. I mean, recently we could see what was going on with Mrs. Terry Schiavo in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember people saying, oh, no, you're carrying this way too far. You know, abortion, it's just going to end there. You know, nothing else is going to be going on.
Mm.
But, you know, when we don't defend, I mean, the most helpless in our society, we're all at risk today. I don't think any of us is safe today.
As a mother, you've chosen to homeschool your children. you love them. I believe that's one of the greatest sacrifices a woman can give to her family, that is to keep her children safe and educating them in the ways of the Lord. And as a mother, and I can't understand how Planned Parenthood or the ladies who are involved in there, women, say that a human baby, a fetus, an interutero baby, is nothing but a conglomeration of cells and a globule of something or another. You know, how is it that a woman's heart can be so turned against what God has said is the most innocent of all creation?
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of that goes back to even Christians don't have a Christian worldview. You know, they're not hearing it from their pastors. A lot of people that call themselves Christian believe in evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not even a baby yet in the womb. You know, it's kind of evolving like a fish or anything else in there. I mean, it's amazing to think that, you know, educated people could believe that. But a lot of people do. And churches aren't addressing this. And I've even, unfortunately, heard, I don't know if Dr. Dobson has changed his tune on this or not, but I've heard some people, you know, good, strong Christians saying, well, you know, the evolution creation debate really isn't all that important. But, you know, if we put anything that God teaches in the Bible as not being important, then why should we believe any of it? Why is any of it important? I mean, if we don't believe where he started there, God wants us to believe in a six-day creation, I think we're headed for trouble.
It's really the whole thing or no thing, to my way of thinking, because if you begin to take things out, as the Jesus Project has been doing and so forth, then it just becomes a book written by a man in the 21st century.
Yes, and unfortunately, that's what many people are doing. They just, the parts they don't like, just, you know, I couldn't believe in a God, you know, like that, and say, well, like I say, you take it or leave it. It's either a true book or it's not. If there's one thing in there that's wrong, then, you know, it's not God.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to come off this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, as having a sense that we're condemning all church and all pastors and everybody who goes to church as being dumb and so forth. But I would like to pique your interest, and I would like to challenge you to be sure that the church that you attend and in your daily study of God's Word or meditation or prayer time or something, that you really are examining the truths of God's Word, the Bible, and not just listening to or perhaps adhering to something that someone else has written as an aside to the Bible, but truly God's Word itself. You know, one of the things here at Radio Liberty that we've dedicated ourselves to is bringing you the truth. Now, we are not an organization who would sell you Bibles or anything else, but we constantly are telling you that this is a spiritual battle between good and evil, and you need to equip yourself if your church is not doing it, or you need to be sure that your church is equipping you, if you're not capable of doing that, to fight this battle towards putting on the whole armor of God. One of the ways that we have done that is put together what we call the Radio Liberty Resource Pack, and I'd like to invite those of you who have not as yet received a copy of it to simply call 1-800-544-8927 and ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Kit, and they will send you this resource guide, which has upwards of 80 pages in it now, of different kinds of things that you can avail yourself of to help you in this process of edification. Now, certainly not all Bible studies or things like that, but stuff that is distinctly spiritual and will help you arm yourself to fight that part of the battle which God has chosen you to do. There are hundreds of millions of people in this world, and each one has a unique gift from God. And that unique gift will show you just exactly what part of the battle is yours. So call 1-800-544-8927, and why don't you do it right now? Ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. We won't put your name on any list. And we'll be right back with Debbie O'Hara.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
We're back once again for a Wednesday's edition of Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson. Dr. Stan will be away from the microphone for a few days, and he's asked me to sit in here for him, put him on your prayer list so that whatever he might be doing, he knows that the prayers of his listeners are going with him. I know our prayers are with him all the time when he's away from this area, and you know, that's one of the things that we depend upon here at Radio Liberty, not only your support in other ways, but, you know, your prayerful support. Everybody who knows God and who knows salvation through the person of Jesus Christ can pray for those of us who are working up here to try to get some information out. And I believe that our guest today, Debbie O'Hara, is trying to get information out in her gifted way by writing things. Now, some of the things that she has written are appearing on a website called News With Views. That's News With Views, three words, .com. And you can go there and read all kinds of insightful things that various and sundry people, including Debbie, have written about what's really going on in the world today. Our guest, Henry Lamb, tomorrow has put up a new thing about what's going on, probably will be going on in 2004. We'll be talking with him about that tomorrow as the Lord tarries. And then on Friday, Michael Kaufman will be talking about property rights and so forth. So be sure that you stay tuned to each and every edition of Radio Liberty this week. And look in anticipation of Dr. Stan's early return here next week. Debbie, you've written that the church in this country used to be the center of our societal adventure, if you will. And a lot of things that were done in church influenced the society. That has not moved away, except our influence is no longer the same. What's going on here?
Well, yeah, I really like what you said earlier, Dave, about making sure that your churches are equipping you. And when you can, you know, let them know when they're going wrong. I think a lot of people are afraid to speak out. You know, just to share with you a little experience we had with a church we were going to. It was just a wonderfully biblically based church, and we just thought we'd found gold there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were considering becoming members, and then George Bush got elected president. And suddenly we started seeing in the church bulletin on Sunday, pray for his school bill to pass.
Uh-huh.
And we're thinking, oh, no. And, you know, I'm very respectful of people, because I think a lot of people, they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say, well, he said he's a Christian. This is probably a great bill, but obviously no one could have looked at it. And so I put a package together for the elders with the School to Work and the Careers Act and the Workforce Investment Act and said, I hope you will read this, because this is the Soviet system.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you told us if anything is ever not biblical to point it out to you, because this is your book. And so I put that together, and they thanked me and said it would take a while to go through it. And I was hoping they would. And, you know, a little time went by, and then I told them, you know, how President Bush had signed a couple of homosexual bills. And yet, in the prayers of the church, you know, they were thanking God for the Christian witness. And I thought, that's like saying vote for him as far as I'm concerned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I just think it's very important when you know something is going on and you see your church doing some things it shouldn't. And I've got to say, there was a happy ending. In the end, they stopped doing that.
Good.
But you know what? They did say, and I don't know if you know this, Dave, that actually the White House was sending letters out to churches asking for prayers for a lot of these things.
Really, for specific items, right?
Yes, and this pastor said, I've never seen a president do that before. He thought it was so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, oh, but pastor, you got to look at the bills first. But see, we, you know, and maybe these aren't things that a pastor should be preaching right from the pulpit, you know, specific bills and things. But this is something a church could be doing, you know, during the week. People could gather together and discuss these things and
exactly.
what we should support or not. And you better be able to back it up with the Bible.
So many of the things that seem to be going on in the church today have been directed, I believe, by leadership who are afraid of the government. After all, when they became incorporated in the state of California or in these United States, they really kind of gave up their God-given right to speak as freely as they want to. And Mammon has driven them in many respects. That good old 501c3 thing, that deductible on your income tax thing, has been something that the church has held up in front of people as being the raison d'etre of our being, almost. People, I think leadership is afraid that if the people don't get the tax benefit of going to church and giving there, that they won't go to church. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, and I think they're wrong. At least a lot of the people I know, they said, boy, they would be more than happy to not take the deduction if the church would just, you know, be the church.
Absolutely.
And I'm worried now, I mean, this 501c3 has certainly silenced the church in some areas, and now with the talk of, you know, faith-based initiatives, and people seem to really be favoring that,
mm-hmm.
we know that the government controls what it funds. We've seen what it's done in the public school, and I'm just amazed that some people don't seem to see that coming.
People would say that they could never do that in this country because we're certainly have freedom of religion and assembly. At least we feel that we do. But there has been a series of events on the East Coast and possibly even here on the West Coast that, you know, churches have been closed because of their adherence to what they believed was a good bill, if you will, or just explaining to people why abortion is wrong, or perhaps calling some candidate to speak at a meeting somehow. The government is very much using the IRS, I feel, and this is a whole other program, as a tool for enforcement.
Yes, absolutely.
We've seen that often, and I think probably we'll see it again. It's good to hear that you've had people tell you, as I have, that there are some who would be perfectly willing to forego the so-called donation credit or 501c3 thing, just to be able to be sure that they're worshiping in spirit and in truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what you really need to be concerned with. All the stuff, all the money, all the cash, all the gold, all the cars, all the other stuff is God's anyway. And he has merely given some of that to you to be a steward of while you're here. You can't take it with you. Oh, you can bury it with you, but it won't go where you're going. And you really won't need it anyway. Some of the things, though, while we're here on Earth, really do need your attention. And one of those, as I move quickly into a commercial for Radio Liberty, is the Friends of Radio Liberty, our family of supporters. Did you know that for $20 a month, not tax deductible, by the way, you could become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters? And for that $20, we'll send you the four very best tapes of the month. And we're going to send you Dr. Stan's insightful newsletter about what's really going on in the world today. But, you know, the most important thing is for you to send that $20 or more, and I like to emphasize the more part, just to know that you're helping underwriting the cost of putting these programs on the air. Radio time is very, very expensive, and Dr. Stan does 5 hours a day some days, and it costs money. I hate to be the person who's constantly asking for cash, but frankly, if you think this program is worthwhile and you think the things we do are equally valuable, then I think every one of you can afford $20. You can call 1-800-544-8927 and make that donation, or you can simply write to P.O. Box 969 in Soquel, California, 95073. That's P.O. Box 969. Soquel, it's spelled S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. Put that check in there, made out to Radio Liberty, and we'll be sure that it gets used in a very, very good way. And I thank you in advance for all that you're going to do to help us. And we're going to be right back with Debbie O'Hara.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. it goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, we're at the bottom of the hour already. It's 31 minutes and a little bit after this hour, and I hope that you're enjoying our conversation this afternoon on a Wednesday's edition of Radio Liberty. I'm Dave Wilson, privileged to sit in here for Dr. Stan, who will be back next week. Keep him in your prayers that he will have travel safety and all that goes on with that. And won't you please keep me in your prayers, too, as I prepare for these programs. Henry Lamb tomorrow, and you know who on Friday. I had a senior moment there. And Michael Kaufman. Today, Debbie O'Hara. We're talking about the things going on in the church. But, you know, all these things, no matter whether we're talking with Michael Kaufman or Henry Lamb or Debbie O'Hara, all have something to do with the mindset of Christians in America. Christians in America have not been well-equipped lately in terms of putting on the full armor of God so that they might confront society. And Debbie, the Bible is very clear in Ephesians 4, isn't it, about what the role of the church is?
Yes, it is. And it's about equipping the saints. And that, you know, the church is geared toward the believers. It's geared toward the Christians. Because without the believers getting the true message and not a watered-down message, there is no way that they can go carry out the Great Commission, which is ministering to the world.
But something's wrong with that, Debbie, because we want to see thousands of people come into our church, because if for nothing else, we have a huge staff and we need to pay those people. We need to build bigger buildings. We need to have more people meeting. So don't you think maybe we ought to have the music be a little more winsome, perhaps, and as you said earlier, the sermon's a little bit shorter so that we can draw in the unbeliever to churches on Sunday mornings?
Well, unfortunately, that's the thought of most, or well, I don't know about most, but it seems like most churches are being touched by this movement there today, and that seems to be their mindset. But the purpose of the church is to teach salvation, and that only comes through the gospel. And, you know, the power of God is in the gospel.
Exactly.
So to think we're going to entertain anybody into the kingdom of God, I mean, I didn't see the Apostle Paul, you know, singing and dancing or bringing someone along. I mean, I think that there's a problem in believing in the sovereignty of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think somehow that if they get the message in just, you know, the right manner, that they can bring someone into the kingdom. But the only way that happens is through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and hearing the gospel.
John MacArthur wrote, as you quoted in an article that you wrote for News with Views, contemporary evangelism has been beguiled and sabotaged by a ruinous lack of confidence in God's word. They've accepted the notion that Scripture does not contain all we need to minister in these complex times, so they turn to human expertise in the field of psychology, business, government, politics, entertainment, or whatever they think might supply some recipe for success that's lacking in Scripture. This is a terribly humanistic orientation towards the efficacy, if you will, of the Scriptures, don't you think?
It absolutely is, and I think it's amazing that Pastor Bill Hybels, who has a mega church in Willow Creek near Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you mentioned the word humanist, because there was a very surprising quote in his book Rediscovering Church that he co-wrote with his wife Lynn. And you know, I'd like to read something here. This was actually Lynn.
Go ahead.
Talking about Bill, she said every other goal he had. Seemed, and talking about Bill now, her husband, seem to pale in comparison to the thought of establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. And I thought, establishing the kingdom of God here on earth, now that's our job as human beings. I mean, this is what, you know, the socialists do. I mean, they try to, you know, make, you know, heaven on earth here without God by, you know, controlling everyone and controlling the environments. And it just sounds like a very humanist statement.
Oh, yeah. And it completely ignores the fact of, that the Word of God tells everybody that the heart of man is unbelievably deceitful and full of mischief. That's a paraphrase. Excuse me for paraphrasing it. But, you know, Jeremiah 17:9. And who can understand it? God even says of the human inwardness. You know, I always like to use the example, and as a mom, you'll probably be able to corroborate this evidence. I've got three kids, and I've observed it. What do you have to teach a child from day one? To be good or to be bad? What is his nature?
Well, that's actually right. That's absolutely right, and that's why, I mean, I just find this a frightening statement to think that we're going to have human beings talking about creating God's kingdom here on earth.
And we'll never see it, that's for sure.
No, and here, a little later in the book, this was his own quote, saying that the church is about people coming together to be Christ to each other in the community. And again, I thought that was rather a strange way of putting it, you know, not following Christ's example and how we care for one another, but to be Christ. Because I'm thinking, gee, if we're going to be Christ, then maybe we don't need Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
So I was just bothered with kind of some of the wording of some of the things in the book there.
There's a lot of strange things that have been coming out of both Bill Hybels' Willow Creek and the Saddleback kind of thing, all beginning, I believe, in the so-called church movement of the, late 80s. It really began to pick up speed and so forth. I think Willow Creek got started really good about 89 or 90 or something. They started publishing all their stuff. Everybody started embracing this, but it started with Robert Schuller and the Crystal Cathedral, and probably even before that, where there is a human-centric religion being taught that as long as you're feeling good about what you do, then it'll be acceptable to God. And this whole notion of not needing to preach about God's wrath or his justice or his righteousness, because that would scare an unbeliever away, kind of began. And that's kind of a scary notion, don't you think? He says again.
Yes, I sure do. I just think that this whole thing that's frightening with what's going on, because, you know, they believe in teaching a Jesus who just wants to, you know, pump people up, you know, make you feel good, you know, pump up your self-esteem, you know, a Jesus that would never think anyone was a sinner, and I just think the funny thing is these people are always talking about how they want to help eradicate poverty and disease and all the problems we have in the world, but when you think about it, all these problems stem back to just one problem, which is sin, and
exactly.
That's the one thing these people aren't talking about.
Yeah, you know, in Christendom, there's God's word and thought. And in humanistic thinking, there's man's word and thought. And it strikes me that a lot of what we know is the church growth movement now, whether it be the Maxwellian kind or the Willow Creekian kind or the Schuller kind or whatever, seems to be more dealing with man's word and thought than what it actually says in the Bible. As John MacArthur said, they have a feeling that there's a lack of confidence. Or there is a lack of confidence on their part in the ability of God's word to cause men to change. I remember in the 70s when I first came to know the Lord in the Calvary Chapel movement down there in Costa Mesa, close by you, I guess. God's word was preached faithfully, Genesis through Revelation. They started over again, Genesis through Revelation. Sunday mornings, a sermon from a bit of scripture. Sunday night, five chapters of the Bible every day, you know, or every week. And that gave me an astounding grounding, if you will, in the Word of God. And today, you can't find that method taught most anywhere, to my knowledge.
Well, no, and pretty much, you know, what the church is dealing with are earthly things. You know, that your finances and your bad marriage, and you know, they're not dealing at all with eternal life. And I'm thinking, this is the way that you change people. When you're thinking about, are you going to be in heaven with God one day, or are you going to be in a fiery hell? And when you realize there are eternal consequences to what you do here, I think you're going to find people really changing. But you know, Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose-Driven Life, he talks about hell as being eternal separation from God. Well, sinners are already separated from God. What fear is that? And, you know, so no wonder there's no fear of God, and people are just doing what's right in their own eyes.
The fear of God, it says in the Word of God, is the beginning of wisdom. And it's an unpopular thought, though, in the 21st century, at least here in America. I think the greatest revivals that ever took place were done, abetted and aided by God's Spirit and preachers who talked about God's wrath and His righteousness. And there's often things said about how I was scared into the kingdom of God. That perhaps is not all bad.
No, and unfortunately, I think probably the saddest thing about this movement is that people are being deceived into believing that they're going to go to heaven with this gushy gospel that's being preached, just this simple, you know, whisper a little prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, or filling out a pew card, or making an altar call, you know, no life change, no, you know, even Jesus said, I mean, he let us know that it was going to be hard. You need to pick up your cross every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means you need to give up what he tells you to give up, or and it may be everything. It may be your life. That's not this easy, you know, gushy gospel that's being preached out there.
No, and you know, we kind of come back full circle to what you said early on, that the gospel is not being preached, and the perception of the church is something that is weak. I have to admit that I watched a program called Judging Amy last night, and I don't know whether you're familiar with it or
not. No, I'm not.
It's an interesting program on CBS, and they have some dynamics about a mom and a grandma and a little kid, and one of them is a judge and everything. But last night they were having a program that showed what the average life of the believer was, quote, believer, unquote. They were having family members gather for a baptism of an infant, and they also talked about how this one child was being abused in a Pentecostal church to scare or whatever a demon out of him. And in both cases, the pastor was shown as a very wimpy kind of guy or a very strong psychopath, and nowhere was anything said about what church was that you and I probably go to. The country has accepted those two views of the church, that is, wimpy, non-effective, or psychopaths, non-loving, divisive, and so forth, and there's nothing in the middle ground. There's no truth being shown in our media. Do you suppose that we'll ever come back again to where Christ's church will really be shown as being what it is?
Well, I would sure like to think that, but I don't know. Sure, things don't look too good out there today, you know, with this gushy gospel that's being preached out there. And I'm not so sure that there's very many Christians that understand even what Christianity is all about.
Who's it up to get that perception changed, though?
Well, I think that needs to be up to, I mean, mainly our pastors, but I think even us as individuals. You know, we are really each responsible for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when we have a chance, like, fortunately I was, you know, felt very good at that one church that I went to, that I was actually able to help and get them to see that, you know, we're not just looking at a Republican-Democrat thing out there or something. As Christians, we need to look at people as individuals, and individually we're responsible for what we're doing.
It's really important for people to examine what's being taught in their churches. I know that I was astounded when my wife and I traveled to an East Coast state recently and attended church there couple of months, actually. And this pastor preached, he was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he preaches about the righteousness of God. And when you come out of there, you feel like you've had an encounter with God, you understand better who God may be, particularly how he relates in your life, and you thank God for the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I look at some of the sermons that I hear out here at various and sundry churches along the West Coast, and I hear mostly titles of sermons like, How Can You Get God to Do Thus and So? And the idea of preaching about God's righteousness and the attributes of God versus how can I do or get God to do this is what's dividing the church, I think, and it shows the two things that are being taught to our detriment.
Well, yeah, and I think this goes back to, you know, the church growth movement and these churches going and surveying the community. What is it that you want? Mm-hmm. So what it is the church is there to serve man, not to serve God. And because they're finding out what are the human needs, what are the human wants, and that's what they're gearing the church toward.
Well, now, a lot of those things are good business practices, though.
Well, and that's exactly it. Unfortunately, the church is being treated like a business. And I don't know. I think from what I've heard, I don't know any specific sums here, but there is a lot of money to be made in this. I know they say Willow Creek Church, last I heard, sells like 280,000 tapes a year.
Really?
Audio tapes. And, I mean, that's a lot of tapes.
That's a lot of money going through somewhere. Not sure where exactly. Let me take our last break here, Debbie, and we'll get back for a recapitulation of what we said. And I'd like to mention some of the things about Peter F. Drucker, maybe, in the last few minutes we have of the program. I have an interesting story to tell there, and I know that you have some interesting insights into that. And ladies and gentlemen, if this kind of programming is important to you, and I hope it is, you can join us, of course, at 464-8295 or 888-245-4237. But I suspect this afternoon it might be best for you to just kind of listen and take notes and then go ask your elders and pastors and other leaders, why are you embracing this church growth movement? Why are you embracing the Willow Creek style of things? Why is it that these purpose-driven life texts are being taught in our church when they're coming out of a humanistic mindset? Just one of the things that we try to do here at Radio Liberty, and I feel a little ill at ease sometimes denigrating the church, but I believe also that I'm called to expose some things that seem to seep into the church over time. That's what we're about here at Radio Liberty, and as you call 800-544-8927 and declare a pledge in support of this program, as I've said before, we'll begin to send you the tape of the month, the four tapes of the month, the four very best programs that Dr. Stan does, and you'll be able to reproduce those if you want to and give them out to your friends. You'll get his letter in which he explains what's going on behind the scenes, be he Democrat or Republican, pretty much the same kind of thing nowadays. You'll get a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Pack, wherein you'll find out all of the videos and books and tapes and things that Dr. Stan and his associates have put together to help edify you. And as I said before, find out what part of the battle is yours. There's a whole string of things that you need to do to find out what's really going on in the world today. I wouldn't even know where to begin, except to recommend to you, perhaps as a starting point, getting a copy of the book The Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stanley Monteith. You can get one if you call 800-544-8927. The Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stan is just a story about what's really going on behind the scenes. It's a small book. It has maybe 100 pages or so in it. But Dr. Stan has dedicated himself to documenting the things in the history of this country which have brought us to the point where we are right now. I like to think that global paganistic socialism or pantheistic socialism is rampant here. It's all a part of a scheme to get the United States on board a global worldview, a world without God, and some place where people are going to be adhering to things that are thought of by men and not by God. Why don't you call 800-544-8927, ask for a copy of The Brotherhood of Darkness by Dr. Stanley Monteith. Brotherhood of Darkness, 800-544-8927. We're going to be back with a few minutes of Debbie O'Hara in just a moment.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Last few minutes of a Wednesday's edition of Radio Liberty on the air right now. It's 51 minutes past the hour. The sun's beginning to go down over the Monterey Bay, and the things that we've had to talk about today, I believe, have been talked about, and we probably piqued some of your interest, and we hope that you take what's been going on in this conversation to the next step and edify yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, as to what really is the truth of this. We have a caller, Rose, in New York. Hi, Rose. Thank you for calling this evening.
Thank you.
Do you have a question or comment?
Comment, but I first want to add something. There are also inspirational cards for the purpose-driven life. I found them in a store.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of other items that they're selling.
So they're on the merchandise trail, too.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
My comment has to do about the Bible and what's going on. It just comes down to the fact that the Lord is, how would you say it, He's the composite of the Word, and if they're not reading the Word, they don't even know who their Savior is.
Mm.
And they're not being taught how to read the Word. If you go to school, your teacher doesn't do every math problem for you. You can't go out in the world and do it yourself. But in church, we interpret and teach every line of the Bible instead of teaching people how to read and hear from the Lord themselves.
You sound like an educator.
No, just a reader. and many people that if they do read, they skip around the Bible, you know,
mm-hmm.
like dessert. And even if we believe God has put that Bible together, there's an order to it. And a simple example is a story there about how God was angry with Israel and David numbered Israel. Well, the next time you find that story, 60 chapters later, it says God was angry and Satan stood. And David numbered Israel. Because God is showing us the order. God is always in control.
Mm-hmm.
And when people skip around and take a piece here or there, and some don't even read the Old Testament, they don't know their Savior, because He's the embodiment of that word.
Well said. Thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate your listening and commenting.
Thank you.
Yeah, and something I'd like to add to what Rose said. It's, you know, if you're not reading the Bible so that you don't know God, without knowing God, you don't even know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what the church is dealing with today, as I mentioned earlier, are problems in your marriage or problems with your children. And, you know, until you know who God is, you're not going to find your place in any of that to be able to fix any of the problems that you have.
One of the fascinating things I feel that was so important in the way Chuck Smith preached, like I alluded to 10, 15 minutes ago in Calvary Chapel in the 70s, was he did exactly what Rose said. There was no verse of Scripture that was not read in church at some time or another during that five-year period of time. Nothing was passed over. No texts were used as proof of an idea that the pastor might have had. And there we got the whole counsel of God, and sometimes it was unpopular because the issues of homosexuality came up, living together, and all the societal things that have been ignored recently in many of our churches were forced to come up because Pastor Chuck was committed to verse-by-verse teaching, and I wish it would come back. You can see, if you will, I hate to say this, the success of the Calvary Chapel movement, at least in Costa Mesa, is because of that kind of preaching, which he got, by the way, I don't know, as an aside, out of Haley's Bible Handbook. Have you ever heard of Haley's Bible Handbook?
Yes, I sure have. And I've got to say, I haven't used it, but it must be good because my son had asked for one for Christmas, and I got him one. So
go to the front piece of it where it has the title, Haley's Bible Handbook, and in parentheses, right on the very first page there, it'll say, the most important page in this book is page 813 or whatever it is. And you go there, and he outlines literally that the pastor's teaching must be from the congregation's reading of the Word of God every week. And they should know in advance what's going to be read and taught from so that they can prepare themselves to get a message from God. And I think it's uncanny how Mr. Haley and, I guess it was the 19th century or early 20th century, had such great insight into that. And we moved away. He wasn't a popular man. He probably didn't serve coffee at church, and he probably didn't have a full set of drums. Maybe they had a tambourine on occasion or something. But anyway, I'm being facetious now. I'm sorry. One of the things about the church growth movement that we need to bring to people's attention is that as it had its origin in a person who was a humanist, I believe. Isn't that the truth of Peter Drucker?
Yes, Peter Drucker. Well, from what I hear, he is supposed to be an Episcopalian. That's what the Christianity Today had said about him. But they said that's really about, you know, all you can say, because it doesn't show in any of his writings or anything he does. There's nothing else that would lead you, you know, to believe that he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And he is supposed to be the guru of modern marketing techniques. And his techniques, you know, he works with, you know, businesses and with governments. And it's his techniques that the church is using.
Well, yeah, he's written a book, which I'm holding right in my hand now. Peter F. Drucker, in great big huge print, in red print. It says, Managing the Nonprofit Organization. This book was bought at a certain Bible bookstore in town here and was handed to all the elders of a very large church here in town. Fascinating comment, I believe, on what was going on in the 90s. Because Mr. Drucker believes that everything changes and people have to adapt to and change in order to attract large crowds into the church.
Yes, he was quoted in Forbes magazine as, you know, saying that he does not believe in moral absolutes. And I think that's, you know, amazing that you think a Christian church would build techniques on a man who doesn't believe in moral absolutes.
Well, you know, we're at the end of the hour, Debbie. What are we going to do about it all? What would be your suggestion? I know you've been asked that 1,000 times at the ends of these kinds of programs. What do you think we ought to do?
Well, I just think as individual Christians, you know, we've got to realize that it's not up to us to save the world, that we just need to individually do what's right. We need to reach the people that we can that are the closest to us, and to know that God is sovereign. No matter what you do, you're not going to screw up his plan.
Amen to that. I'm going to have to say thank you very much. Sorry to cut you off. I know you had another thought, but God is sovereign is the best way I know of to end this program today. Thank you, Debbie, and I hope that we can talk again sometime real soon.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back again tomorrow as the Lord tarries with another edition of Radio Liberty, and we'll be talking about similar things with Mr. Henry Lamb, possibly what's going on in our country. Until then, pray for us, pray for America. We really, really need your prayers right now.